We pray together this morning. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we thank you that we can enter your presence and that we can give you worship. And Lord, that you never turn us away. Father, that you accept where we're at. You accept whatever mode, whatever way, whatever type of worship that we give. Father, you love us, you care for us, you desire to know us, you desire us to know you. And Father, you made that all possible by your Son, Jesus. He's the living image of you on earth. And Father, we give you thanks that we have his testimony that has been witnessed and shared by thousands upon millions of people. And Father, we give you thanks for your Bible, your word, Lord, that reveals the truth to us, that by your Spirit, people's lives are changed by just a mere reading of your word. Lord, people would say that you don't speak today, but we know that you speak. You speak through healings. You speak through miracles, Lord. You speak through your word. You speak through transformed lives, transforms relationships. And Father, we give you the glory and the power and praise you for all your awesomeness, Lord. Father, we pray in the way that you taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Just information-wise, just to further follow up on James doing the announcements for Miss Kara, she is going to New Zealand. And one of the little bit of information she had there is if you want to help fund her, you can give go to a website. It's called GoFundMe.com. And you can look up Kara's name, right? Or how do you have it titled? Kara YWAM, and you can contribute directly that way if you desire so. But she loves being away on missions, and so she's going away again. And that's in January, isn't it? Yeah, in January. And you're going to be gone for 5 months? Or seven?
5.5.
5.5? Okay. Awesome. Awesome. So keep her in your prayers. This morning we've been working through this chapter 7 in Luke, and we're going to continue in that area and talking about God's desire for us to be good neighbors. And this morning we look at the story of the woman that comes before Jesus and kisses his feet, sheds her tears, wipes his feet with her hair, and anoints his feet with perfumed oil. And so, what does that have about neighboring? And you may be looking at the title and going, it's payback time. What's that all about? Well, it has to do with the art of receiving. How many of you would say that you're a good receiver? I'm not talking about the Stampeders, the Eskimos, that kind of thing. But how many would you say that you're a good receiver? Receiver in the aspect of that you receive things from people well. It's an area that sometimes makes us uncomfortable because somehow we want to justify the giving of a gift. Somehow we want to be able to stand with somebody and before somebody, and we don't want to be indebted to them. You know, somebody does something nice for you, and for some reason down deep inside, we just can't be satisfied with saying thank you. But we feel like we need to do something so that they know that we're thankful. Can you do something for me today? I want you to say two words. I want you to practice this, because these are the hardest two words to say when somebody does something nice for you or gives you a compliment. How many of you ever received a compliment? Not everybody's put their hands up. You're looking mighty fine this morning, everybody. I want you to say these two words. Repeat after me. Thank you. Thank you. A friend of mine taught me that, because he kind of, in conversations, and he would listen to me and say, you know, say good things and be around whenever people would say or do something for me, and I would try to justify whatever they were doing or complimenting myself on. And he said, Shannon, why do you always have to do that? Why can't you just say thank you and accept it? I know it's hard, because another lady that I knew, and she's very talented in doing artistry. She takes great photography. She is very handy and thrifty, and does numerous things well. And people would compliment her, and she would do the same thing. And she came to me one day, and she goes, Shannon, I just don't know how to handle this. What do you say? What do you do? It makes me feel uncomfortable. And I just said to her the same thing that I just had you say, which was what?
Thank you.
Thank you. Just say thank you. Just say thank you. A friend of mine, and I'll name him, say, Sean, he was walking through some deep, deep waters. He had just... his wife had just informed him that she didn't want to be married to him anymore, wanted to be separated, and that there was nothing that he could do to change that. And I didn't know him before this, and he ended up in my office one day and just bearing his soul to me. And that began a journey of about 2.5 years of just simply getting together, talking, chatting, praying, building him up. He tried everything he could to restore and repair his relationship with his wife, but she would have nothing to do with him. And his greatest despair was, what if there's nobody else that'll love me? You know, God's future for me is to be alone. And so we walked through that for 2.5 years. And the funny thing is that he saw God as a God of punishment. And you and I know, if we read our Bibles, that God clearly is not a God of punishment. He is a God of love. He is a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. He's a God of grace, which means what? Unmerited favor. Remember that? And so we're sitting at about a year later, and I said to him, I said, you know, he had been trying to pursue some relationships online, and they just weren't working out. And I said to him one day, I said, Sean, when you're content with God, when he has your heart, then things will change. And he fought over this for quite a while. But then one day he came to me and he said, Shannon, he goes, I'm content. I'm content whether God has me find another woman that'll marry me and have a life together, or I'm content where it's just myself. But I'm there. And I knew from that point in time, I smiled to myself, that now something's going to happen. And sure enough, he comes back to me 2 weeks later, and he goes, I've been pursued by a woman online. She won't leave me alone. And he says, I've tried and tried and tried to, like, you know, I don't know how you lose somebody online, but he said, I've tried and tried and tried to do this, and she just won't leave me alone. I just laughed to myself because I said, he goes, why are you laughing? I said, well, one, you're not in control. Two, you're the one being hunted. You're not the huntee or the hunter. And that relationship became more serious and serious and serious until finally I married them. And to this day, you know, they have a wonderful relationship. They live in Calgary, and just everything is good. But one thing he said to me constantly throughout our 2.5 years of just sitting down and discipling, walking life together, was that, Shannon, someday I wanna pay you back. His thing was, I don't want to always be on the receiving end of advice, of counsel, of care, of love. And so one day I made it available to him to pay me back. I had him redo my roof in Peace River. Well, that's a big payback. Yeah, it was. But the thing in it is that he so desired to want to have a relationship where he was not always the receiver, that he could actually be the giver. And when we're in relationship with people, you know, we want to love them and care for them as Jesus has instructed us to do. And especially if it's someone that is walking through deep waters or walking through problems, we just want to care for them and love them and do everything that we can do for them. But there comes a time where if we don't allow them to give and us receive, that relationship becomes not a relationship anymore, but becomes a project. That the person feels like they're a project. And so there's this importance, this connection in a relationship where each person has to feel they have a value, that they have something to give in a relationship. And so when we, you know, pursue a relationship with our neighbors or with strangers or with one another, when we're always the ones that are initiating the giving and we never allow the other person to give and us receive, then that other person feels of lesser value. They feel somewhat powerless. They don't feel human. And so when we pursue a relationship with those that maybe don't know Christ, don't make them feel like a project. Make them feel like they are a person. And as Jesus accepts them as who they are, we do the same. We see this picture in the story this morning, where we have the woman who is classified by Simon the Pharisee as a sinner. That she is such a sinner that Simon says, Jesus, if you knew who that was touching you, you would not allow her to touch you. Simon has classified this woman based on who she is and what she has done. But he has not seen this woman before him as Jesus sees her, as who she could and would become. So we have the story, and it goes that Simon had invited Jesus over on the Sabbath for dinner, for conversation, for a visit. And as they're laying at the table, as tradition would have it, as you sat and you ate in sort of a U-shaped, and your feet would hang off the end, and you would lean in on your right elbow, and you would pick the food off the table and eat that way. Wouldn't that be a revolution today? Can you imagine doing that? I can't. I don't think it'd be too good for your digestive system anyways. But so they're sitting there, and whatever they're conversing about, maybe there becomes a break in the time. And this woman that is known as a very sinful woman manages to get in and gains access to Jesus at the table. And she comes and she starts crying at Jesus' feet. And she unbinds her hair and she starts to wipe her tears off of Jesus' feet. Now you need to realize something here culturally, is that women did not typically get invited to banquets. If they did, they were servants, or they were there for the men's amusement. Men and women, strangers, would not mix publicly. And women would not unbind their hair in public. And this woman, because she is such a woman, her hair would have been the thing of most value, because it would be the thing that would attract and allure the men to her. But she unbinds her hair, she lets it down, and she wipes Jesus' feet. Simon, sitting there, knowing who she is, passes judgment on her, and we get this statement that is made and reported in the scriptures, that Jesus, if you knew who this woman was, you would not let her touch you. You're a prophet? I don't think so, because you would know this. Can you imagine being the woman sitting there? And as you've humbled yourself without a care as to whoever is around, whoever is watching, especially Simon, a Pharisee, who's already condemned you and already judged you, and basically says, you're worthless. What do you think she's possibly thinking? What's Jesus going to do? Well, Jesus tells Simon a parable. He says there is two sinners, and one owed a debt of 500 denarii, and the other one owed a debt of 50 denarii. And the master decided to forgive the debt of both these individuals. Simon, who do you think is going to be more grateful and thankful? And Simon says, like any astute arithmetic type person, says, well, the one that was forgiven much. And Jesus says, yes, Simon. Well, that wasn't so hard. Well, then Jesus brings home the application. He says, Simon, you invited me into your house, and I'm sitting here with you, but you haven't offered me water to clean my feet. Simon, you haven't even offered me oil to refresh myself and anoint my forehead. It was tradition. And Simon, to top it all off, is that you haven't even given me the greeting of a kiss, as a host would do. But Simon, I want you to notice something. I want you to look at this woman at my feet. Her tears have cleansed my feet. She's taken her hair and she's wiped my feet. And she's anointed them with oil. Simon, who has been forgiven much? See, in all of that aspect, Simon makes it very clear that he invited Jesus over was maybe more of a spectacle. It was maybe something that he was supposed to do because the law required it. I mean, Jesus had been teaching at the temple. And you know what? To have Jesus in your house would be a good thing. But Simon does not extend to Jesus these three things that would say, you are a guest, and I honor you. And I have, how does it say in here? That he has affection for him. But this sinner, this person, this woman that you've classified as a sinner, she has done these things. And she has showed much love to me. What does Jesus' action say to us? What does it say to us when we interact with other people? He tells us to love God, and he tells us to love people. But Simon clearly has maybe forgotten that or withheld that because he's not interested in loving Jesus. He's there for his entertainment, for conversation, for to look good. Jesus brings the application to Simon and basically says, Simon, who has been forgiven much? Simon, your actions tell me that you're outside the kingdom. This woman that is a sinner, and why is she at my feet? The commentaries and people have speculated back and forth that there's a related story in Mark and there's a related story in John, but they're not the same woman. But I can hear the words that Jesus says to Peter when Peter denies Christ three times. He says what? Peter, do you love me? Do we love each other? Do we love our neighbor? Do we do as Jesus would have us do? Jesus does not turn the woman away. He knows very well who she is. He knows where she's been. She knows, you know, the perfume that she carries in this flask. It's a very expensive perfumed oil. It's not normal cheap oil. It's expensive. He knows exactly who she is. He accepts her worship. Now, why does she come and find Jesus? Why is she weeping at his feet? Well, we're told earlier in Luke's account that Jesus had been sharing and preaching, and that whoever would come unto him would have peace. Maybe she heard Jesus' preaching, Jesus' announcements, and she thinks, is this possible? Can I have redemption? Can I be cleansed clean? Can I have this stigma of who I've been labeled to be and am washed away? And she finds Jesus. And she's weeping at his feet. Jesus shows us how to receive such people with open arms. They don't have to get everything together. They don't have to be everything to everyone. They don't have to be clean before they come to him. He accepts them as they are. And even the Apostle Paul, who denied Christ, who persecuted Christians, Peter denied Christ, but Paul persecuted Christians, put Christians to death, was blinded, and then came to see Jesus as the Christ. He was, says to the Corinthian church, I do and become all things to all men so that what? I may win some. He understands the art of receiving. And Jesus shows us how you receive someone. Can you think what this woman, where this woman would be if Jesus pulled back his feet and says, don't touch me. You are a sinner. What would that do to the woman? It would devastate her. It would destroy her. Do you think she would have anything to do with Jesus following that? Do you think she would have anything to do with Christianity following that? Do you think she would have anything to do with those that call themselves followers of Christ? Probably not. But Jesus accepts her as who she is and where she's at. Accepts her worship. Regardless of what Simon, the keeper of the law, judges him as. Regardless. He doesn't care. And the beauty of it is this woman doesn't care either. She just comes to Jesus. And she worships him. Do we worship Jesus in the same way? Or are we afraid of what and how people may judge us or talk about us? You know, even when we're amongst our brothers and sisters in church. It's okay to be reserved. But this is Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, who saved us, that we're worshiping, that we're in love with. How do we think this woman would worship Jesus if he were here today and she was here? The thing that gets in the way of blocking us from receiving good from others, or maybe help, is that back in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, and they hid from God. When they sinned and they ate the fruit, what immediately happened, it says? Their eyes were opened. And they became aware of what? They were naked and ashamed. And that's the thing that God comes back when he's looking for Adam and Eve. I'm thinking, how can you hide from God? Adam, Eve, where are you? I'm going to count to three. And Adam comes out and he says, you know, why were you hiding? Because we ate and did what you told us not to do. And we were naked. God says, what? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat from the tree? Yes, I did. We have become aware that we are naked and become ashamed. And what has happened is that we've lost that intimacy with God. And God brought Jesus to restore that intimacy between him and us, and also between us and us. We talked about the aspect, maybe we were fearful of our neighbor. Maybe we were fearful that they'll find out who we really are, and that we have bad days and good days. And if we opened up to one another and really knew one another, we'd discover what? Oh, they have good days and bad days too. We're alike. We have something in common, right? You look for friendship, you look for somebody to have friendship with and connect with, you look for what? Something in common. We're all sinners and we've all fallen. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We as human beings, frankly, hate to be indebted to others. Is that not true? If I owe somebody, somebody does something for me, what do I automatically feel? I got to do something for them. Someone sends me something, I'm going to send them something back. Then I don't owe them. I don't have an obligation. Makes us uncomfortable. Because we'll have to be naked and reveal ourselves. What should we do instead? When someone gives us a gift or does something nice or says something nice to it, what should we say? Thank you. Accept it. They did a study at George Mason and Hofstra University in 2009. And they found that men were more likely to view a gift as a burden or an obligation. Translation, something they have to pay back. Men are less likely to feel and express gratitude. Because to express gratitude would be what? To be weak. Weakness. It would to be admit that I need others. I need people. The thing that we as men, and I'm sorry I'm picking on us as men, but it's the most relevant topic I know about because I'm a man. We can make our worlds real small. Our worlds can consist of work, eat, sleep. Star Wars. Yeah, okay, let me adjust that. Work, watch TV, eat, sleep. And if we have a family, you spend it with their family. My friend Sean, walking through stuff with him, I said the exact same words to him. I said, you let your world get too small. He was fearful of God. He saw God as a God of punishment, so he would not take any trips. He would not plan any vacations unless he knew, absolutely knew, that God would be okay with it. He lived in a relationship of fear with God. And he lived in such a relationship that, you know, is my worship okay? Is it right? That he lived frozen. and that his world became real small. It was like that was his wife's biggest complaint. We never do anything. You live in this world of fear. And guys, we can get caught up in that. And one of the biggest things we get caught up in is that we don't need anybody else. The created order. God said, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made a helpmate. God is three in one, one in three. Guys, we have to guard against our world being too small. You got to push out the boundaries sometimes. And a lot of us do a good job of it, but the majority of us don't do a great job of it. But we need to do that. Maybe we're living in fear. What people will think. Maybe a lot of us live in fear is that we're not as good or as talented as that other guy who knows a lot more about that thing than I know about it. I guess the aspect is that we need to develop this gratitude in our hearts. We need to remember where we've come from, what Jesus did for us, and that he accepts us however we are. And his goal is always to move us closer to himself, to develop us, to help us, for us to become like him. And this whole idea of being able to receive his goodness. And how do we see our neighbors? Do we love them as Jesus loves us? Do we do and become everything that we can, within legal means, of course, to save some? But this whole area inside of us, when we come to worship God, is our heart in the right place? Is it filled with gratitude and thankfulness? Knowing the freedom and the saving work of Jesus? Or do we do things out of obligation like Simon? I wonder. Jesus wants to open our world to so much more than what we've got in our hands. And that's for all of us. And I wonder what our world, our community, our body could look like if we're open to what he has for us. And simply let go. Say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to do what you asked me to do. And see where it takes us. But that's the biggest fear. He's going to take us out of the comfort zone. You and I know that, don't we? We don't like to be out of our comfort zone. We don't like change. But God is a living God, and he is all about change. Change of lost souls to living found souls. That's what it's about. Do you treasure your neighbor as Jesus treasures them? Do you see them as he sees them? Because Jesus says to Simon, he says, what? Do you see this woman? Do we see them? Do we see our neighbor as that person that is most value to Jesus? And do we love them? Do we care for them? Do we approach them the same way? Oh, there's so much more that I could say. Well, I want to say one thing here then. John 3:16 says what? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. God loves the world. But God's love does not save us. Even my love for God doesn't save me. It's our faith, our belief in what in Jesus and who he is and what he did. That's his love. Yes, God loves the world, but we have to take and apply it and believe it. End with a story. Story is told of an eccentric Irish nobleman who some years ago became a follower of Christ and whose salvation was the wonder of the countryside. He was so filled with a sense of the grace of God that he began to go around preaching, and people called him the crazy nobleman. On one occasion, he posted notices to this effect that he would be in his office from 10 to 12 on a given day, and he would be prepared to settle the debts of any one of his tenants who would come to him. Many would not believe. So some of the folks could not read it and would ask someone else to read it to them. Many would not believe it, so they talked about it, and the days went on, and finally the certain day arrived, and the people went down to his office. At 10 o'clock sharp, the carriage pulled up in front of his office, and the nobleman got out and entered it with his secretary. Outside, the tenants talked amongst themselves as whether he really meant it. They could hardly believe him. About half past 11 o'clock, an old man and an aged wife came hobbling along, and the old man had a number of bills in his hand, and he asked, "Is it true that his lordship said he would pay our debts?" They replied, "Why don't you go in and try it?" He was so anxious to be free of debt that he decided to do so. He and his wife went in to see if his lordship would pay their debts. Outside, people waited anxiously to see what would happen as he handed his bills to his lordship. His lordship told his secretary to total them up and give him a check. "Oh, my Lord, thank you so much. I am over 80 years old, and now my wife and I can die with our debts paid. Now we must go out and tell the rest." But the nobleman replied, "You took my offer by faith, and because you believed me, your debts are paid. The rest must do the same." They outside waited and wondered why the old man did not come out. Finally, 12 o'clock struck. The door opened and the nobleman stepped out and the old couple followed. The others asked the old man if he had had his debts paid. He said, "Yes." Then they all crowded about pleading to have theirs paid also. But the nobleman said, "My friends, I gave you the opportunity to come. And I would have paid everything, but you would not believe me. So now you will have to pay them yourselves." If you will not come to Christ, then there's no one to blame but yourselves if you have to face that dreadful accounting day of judgment. H.A. Ironside. The woman was forgiven her sins because of why? Was it because of her great love? No. It was because of her faith. And Jesus says so. He says, by your faith, you are free. Go in peace, he says. And the translation of that more directly is go into peace. Jesus is telling the woman that you now are no longer at wrath, under the wrath of God, no longer at enmity with him. Because of your faith has saved you, now you will go into his peace. That's what happens when we believe and receive Christ. We go into his peace. Let's pray. Lord, We maybe think of many people at this time, loved ones, neighbors, estranged people, Father. That you bring to our mind that you want us to reach, to touch, to be in relationship with. Father, sometimes we believe that they need to get things right before we can do that. And Lord, that simply is not the way you operate. Father, I can't fathom the destruction that would have happened if you had not allowed the woman to anoint your feet. Father, let us not be Pharisees. Let us not be Simons of the world that condemn and judge others, that only see who they have been, what they are, and not what they could be. Lord, let us be givers and lovers of people, but let us also receive and say thank you as we say thank you for what you've done for us. We are not worthy. None of us are. But yet you gave your life for us. It's because of your grace that we have life. So, Father, from a grateful and thankful hearts, we say thank you. In your name we pray, Lord.